Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky here. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today we have Rabbi Mordechai Yaffe, who is a Menahel of Masifta Ateres Yaakov, which is in the Five Towns. And Rabbi Yaffe also holds a doctorate in clinical psychology and is licensed to practice in the state of New York, and wrote a very, very interesting article for us for our Jewish Action for the summer edition 2012. Rabbi Yaffe, it's a pleasure to have you on the program.
Pleasure's mine.
Great. Well, I appreciate the fact that you wrote the article. I know reading it, you said you had some trepidation. What's the reason for the trepidation?
The reality is that, you know, anybody who's dealing in the world today understands that, you know, it's like the old joke, you know, computers, I'm going to wait till that fad passes. You know, I got sucked in by the pet rock craze. You know, computers aren't going anywhere. And automatically, it's almost like code for people to take sides as soon as somebody talks about something, you know, either positive or negative about, you know, internet use. And that's a real problem because, you know, again, it's not going anywhere. People are using it. And the question is, how are we going to deal with it? And not just from like a, you know, with the kids and educationally, but for all of us as Klal Yisrael, how are we going to deal with this?
Right. Well, that's a great question because I think we're all trying to come to grips with that, and I think that there seems to be some kind of a divide among Orthodox people. What we do? How do we accept it? If we do, how do we accept it? Do we pretend it's going away? I mean, you know, we read about the recent Asifa, and you mentioned that you were there. You know, I'm not sure. What do you think about that?
Well, again, you know, without going into the Asifa, because I'll be honest with you, if I had to write an article about internet use, I would have refused. But
okay.
because it was specifically, because again, as I did write, that this is an area in which giants are fear to dread, and perhaps the rest of us Lilliputians should do as well. But, you know, social media brings out a whole different gamut of issues. And as a result, I think that's something that even somebody a little smaller can be addressing, and that was why I wrote this article.
Right. I mean, I like the fact that you, when you quote the Liquid Mashgiach, Rav Matashel Solomon, when you say that he says the internet is not the enemy, the Yetzirah is. Someone said that the greatest filter anyone could have is Yirat Shamayim.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Which, by the way, is really the unspoken real issue that's going on over here, is that, you know, why are people so addicted to this? Why are people's lives falling away from this? Like, and as ultimately it comes out that it's a very funny thing that, you know, unfortunately, you know, we'd use the word frum, but it's like people can spend their whole lives davening, can spend a lot of time learning, and they forget about that, you know, that God is supposed to come into this picture a little bit. And you know, again, nature abhorring a vacuum, and everything physical always is reflective of something that's in Ruchnius. And the fact is that whatever tuma comes in, and it's not just pornography. I one time heard the Baltimore Shiur Rav Aaron Feldman talk that his biggest concern with internet use is the effect that it's having on people's minds. And it's clear. I mean, you can see it in kids for sure. But in terms of just the devolution of people's ability to think and to concentrate, and you know, again, we live in a this time of instant gratification. Everything is readily available for us. If we're waiting a couple extra nanoseconds, we start tapping our fingers, right? You know, and this is a world in which, you know, when we were growing up, this, you know, you know, it's like Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Chatzos Lavracha, used to say that in Europe when they made oatmeal, it had lumps in it, and so you had to chew. You know, today it's like we want ace of, like, we just want to just pour it right down my throat. And that in itself is a problem. But people forget about a Kodesh Baruch Hu in all of this. And I personally think that's really the crux of the issue. I would have written that as well, but I already went 600 words over what I was allowed to. So
I got you. No, I think everyone agrees with you about that. And we just had a recent edition in the Jewish Action about that, dealing with spirituality. How do we bring spirituality into our life? We can go through all the motions, we could daven, we could learn, but the only thing we don't have is God. And this is an issue. So we dealt with that. But let me ask you this question. As a menahel of a school, so how do you adjust and adapt? Now, we know that technology is here. Do you change your curriculum? What do you do?
Well, again, you know, different schools have done different things. Particularly, I have an issue with the social media. And again, there are studies. I mean, there are studies that came out in the last month. Well, there was one study in England, another study in Australia. That and you know, in terms of what it does to self-esteem, what it does, what the problems that are caused, the higher incidence of depression. I mean, these are documented studies. So we've run our school without having to resort to the social media. And again, it's funny because you have entire groups that are, you know, trying to bring the kids into it. And the problem is that while it's great that kids have these skills, what they don't have is the boundaries, and they don't have the controls. And I personally, what I've seen kids do online, and the amount of time that gets spent, and again, like I had said, that the Jack Dorsey, the Twitter founder. I mean, let's say right. Somebody says that you know, I call it because it's a short burst of inconsequential information. This is not where we want to be going, and perhaps not every aspect of it is something that we have to be using. So we don't use the social media. In the meantime, to go and tell a kid that you specifically have to go to the library, you know, as opposed to using something that can take him seconds to get, I don't know how realistic that is today. I was at a conference last year at Harvard in the summer in their graduate school of education, and one of the things that a person who talks about integrating technology into the education of the 21st century is you saying that perhaps the whole nature of what we're going to be teaching kids needs to be different because the factoids that used to be taught in school can be gotten in seconds. And who says that we need to memorize it if, in fact, it's something that we can just get? And perhaps what we need to be doing more is teaching the kids the critical thinking and the deeper thinking and analysis and problem solving. You know, I mean, again, that what I'm seeing is that, therefore, through this, something like internet becomes a tool to be able to utilize it for better education. Right. But
I mean, is there any reason to teach penmanship anymore?
I decry it, although I was never very good at it. But it's a good question. I'll ask you a different question. Do we have to teach typing much longer?
Right.
How long is it going to be before we're not using keyboards and that it's all going to be voice recognition?
Right. So therefore, you're right. That's why, look, technology is here. The question is how we utilize it as a tool, Litova. That's the question, and that's our challenge.
Absolutely.
That's our challenge, and I agree with you about what you're saying. I think there is a school of thought that says, look, if kids are going to be on Twitter anyway, let's find ways of utilizing it. But I understand why we have issues with it. It's a whole new generation. As somebody said, one of the people who wrote in the articles, it said it's not that the kids are so technologically advanced; it's part of their lifestyle. In other words, it's just like
Absolutely.
We don't think twice about writing, taking out a pen and writing. They
mm-hmm.
don't think twice about doing anything on the computer because it's just second nature to them.
Absolutely. So again, to me, it's a question of creating boundaries, and it's not easy. This is like one of the things that we have to see where the fallout's going to lie. In any case, look, even among the more right wing areas, I mean, there has been a certain amount of acceptance that this is here. And again, I think it volleys back and forth. But our reality is that to do business in today's day and age, to be educated, to be in school today, I mean, you have to be able to have the facility with the computer. Reality.
Right. So, but I'm saying, as far as teaching, as far as curriculum is concerned, I mean, do you think it should be part of the curriculum? Proper use of the internet, proper use of social media. It should be maybe even a course that should be taught because it's something that's real.
Well, I don't think that teaching them proper use of social media is necessarily something to be in an actual curriculum. However, I think it's very important to bring in experts to speak to the children about that. You know, if you're going to be doing this, understand these are the risks, these are the dangers. You have a real concern about predators. And we did that in our own yeshiva, you know, and we brought someone to speak to all the kids. And again, that doesn't mean we're endorsing it. But, you know, we're not, but on the other hand, we're not just saying, you know, oh, it's us or it's Trafe, don't do it, because Right. That's just turning your head from where the kids what the kids are doing.
You write in the article about how you feel that because of the social media and emails, we've kind of lost the art of communicating and interacting. So how do we bring that back into society? How do we teach our teenagers that, you know, sometimes you don't have to text. You could actually walk next door and talk to somebody as opposed to sending them a Twitter or an email.
Right. Now, I actually just had this with one of my children the other day who's in something of a serious relationship. And there was something that came through on the text, and it concerned him. And I said, don't text back. Don't do it. I said, just answer short, succinctly, and when you see each other, talk to each other. You need to see the nuances. You need to see the emotions. You need to make eye contact. You need to be able to follow it, because the fact is that once you write it down, you send it. There's no whittling it. There's no changing it. And so, you know, I think that's a critical part of it as well. You know, again, it's very clear that their communication skills have been severely affected. Not to mention the fact that nobody can spell anymore.
Well, you have spell check. Who needs it, right? What do you need it for? In the article, you talk about the end where you say, we need to decide if it's worth the risks. So mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Well, in other words, and again, I would say that this is not just an issue for kids. I think that this is an issue for everybody. In other words, there's clearly certain advantages. You know, you talk about certain programs. Well, I guess I should be careful not to anything that might be a trademark, not to quote it per se. But you know, professionally, there's certain social media sites that people tend to use. You know, but the reality is that it's so dangerous in terms of how it pulls you in. I mean, I quoted earlier the study. I had just seen that in this British study, more than 50% of the respondents said that they're uncomfortable if they're unable to access their accounts, and the fact is that two thirds of them said that they cannot relax or sleep after using social media. I mean, this is clear. This clearly has negative effects for us, and so, you know, with all of the possibilities of things that can go wrong for us, is it something that we in general should be using? I made a decision a while ago not to use these things. In other words, I do text, I do email. I'm pretty savvy in terms of the actual technology, but I made the decision not to be going on to a Facebook account. Not to be Twittering people, and I guess that's me personally, and I've just heard so many stories of people who are drawn into these what they think are relationships. You know, I mean, you know, you have these kids, you know, with 9,000 friends, right? What's their name?
Right.
You know, again, that's when I say we have to assess: are the risks worth it? The question is: can we live without this? And certainly, can our children live without it? Now that's really the question. Although, you know, I also saw recently a study that said that a significant proportion, perhaps the majority of people, are starting to find Facebook boring. Again, you know, it grabs you, and then you realize, okay, what am I really doing here? You know, and do we really need to know, you know, what all the different Hollywood stars are doing every minute?
Well, look, I think that's why we have to distinguish between internet and social media. I mean, internet
Absolutely.
Is different.
I agree.
People need it for their business. People need it for information. There's a tremendous amount of Torah you can find on the internet. But you're right. Social media, what's the point of the social media? Just to have, like you say, a Facebook with have 2,000 friends? I mean, spend all your day seeing a friend you haven't, reading about a friend you haven't seen in years, and the fact they just took a trip? It doesn't make any sense.
So that's it. That's the beginning and the end of my point. Before you go into any ruchnistic aspect of it, and I myself can't see how we can't be talking about responsible internet use today. I don't see how we've been talking about being integrated into the world. Again, you know, if you're living up in Curacao, maybe it's a different thing. But for the people in our society, what we're doing, and I'm talking from the right to the left, I mean, anybody who's thinking that the kids aren't using the internet are just fooling themselves. So I agree, we have to be talking about responsible usage. You know, I recently heard Rabbi Zacharia Wallerstein say that the whole point of filtering, it's not that a kid can get around filtering, but at least it makes you stop and think. It takes away, you know, the Yitzhak wants instantaneous gratification. If you have to already pause for a minute, all right, maybe I don't need it. And I think that's such a huge point. The filtering becomes part of the education. The usage of it, of how we're doing it, it becomes part of the education. Recognizing that just like every other medium that could have potentially negative effects on us can be used for a very positive thing. I think that's where we're going with the internet as well, which is why I wouldn't have written an article on the internet.
I understand that. That's great. I think it's really great. I think it's a question of educating the kids today and setting up the gedarim that we have to set up, and being aware of the fact that we're living in a world where this is going to have easy access, and whatever's out there today will be replaced by something which is faster and cheaper tomorrow. But it's a major issue, and I agree. You know, we need to decide if it's worth the risk. Well, I think you've brought a whole new thought process. And I appreciate very much you're writing the article for the Jewish Action. Hopefully, all the people will read it and understand it and then come online and listen to what you have to say, because I think you've made some very, very important points, and I sincerely appreciate it. Thank you very much, Rabbi Mordechai Yaffe, the Menahel of Masifta Ateres Yaakov. Thank you for writing the article, and thank you for coming on my program. Have a wonderful day.
You too. The pleasure is mine. Thank you so much. Be well.
Bye-bye.